It's only more than that. We're in that space the last few weeks.
Guys, listen up to a word here from this young man.
So just as we were singing and just worshiping God, I really felt this word of like just encouraging us, like God is so pleased with us. And as we shouted and as we sang the songs, there was just this cry of victory from our hearts. And I felt like God saying that He is the victory. And through shouting His name and honoring Him, there was such a victory in, I believe, in most of our hearts that just came in, like, Jesus, You are victorious. So it was just so amazing.
Awesome, bro. Got another one, Nels.
As we were worshiping here, and come Holy Spirit came on, and I felt this the scripture, and I felt like I was asking the Lord, maybe there's something. It's always something I do, and most times when I'm worshiping, is like, is there something I can share and something I can work into someone's life? And the scripture popped up, Romans 1 verse 16. Many people know it by heart. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it's for everyone. And so I prayed to the Lord, okay, what is this? For who and for what? What, where, when? And it just came like, for your evangelism trip next Sunday. It's like, so what I felt to encourage you with and how it came with through is, the evangelism, the main thing is going to happen on Sunday. But do not be dead in Monday to Saturday. But wherever you go, be contagious. Share the gospel with everyone, because it was freely given to you, and freely you should give it. That is the price you pay. If you forgive others as Christ forgave you, you love others as Christ loved you. You share with others as Christ shared with you. I would really just want to encourage you to already start getting warmed up through the week, because you don't play a rugby match without exercising.
Thank you guys. I've tried to play sport without warming up, as some of us have, and it's not fun. So in light of the warm-up, what we'll do on Wednesday nights is we'll gather as we normally do, but it'll be great to turn our focus on Wednesday to the weekend and to the lost. And so some portion of our nights, and I shared with Louis earlier, but some portion of our week just to reflect on Sunday, to begin to pray and ask God to show us people, show us friends and colleagues and guests. So we've got a real week of just turning our focus onto the lost and dying world, which I always believe is the one thing we can still do on this side of eternity, is to tell people about Jesus. When we get to heaven, we're going to worship, we're going to fellowship, we're going to do all the wonderful things we do, but the one thing we won't be able to do still is to witness to the lost. And it's really been on my heart a lot as I've been preparing this, actually talking about being overcomers. We can't overcome without being full of Jesus. We looked at it last week. We cannot overcome in our own strength. So as we become overcomers and as we grow as overcomers, we're actually growing closer to Jesus, because He's our strength to do this. And as we grow closer to Him, we are going to overflow more and more. And we won't be able to stop telling people about Him. And then our hall will become too small, and the dreams of the stadium will be fulfilled. And so I know to some of you, you probably think I quite love like to be a shepherd, pastor, lover of God's people, family guy, dad. Okay, all those things I do know are part of me. But I do have another part of me that some of you don't know, which is very much for a lot of people having one big party, let's reach lots of people. I love lots of people. I love situations where there's one big celebration, one big party. So I love the fact that God's given us quality to work with and people to lead and a church to grow. But there's something really exciting about the masses as well, and the nations, as Ross has been to one nation in the last 2 weeks. And you see the amount of people that are out there. Those that already know the Lord that want to come on the journey with us. And then thousands in their own nation have yet to be reached. So as we overcome, we're going to be the ones sent. We'll be the next ones off to a nation that is looking to partner with us. And how many nations in Africa? Anyone know? I think there might even be 55-ish if we include the islands now. 50 to 55, somewhere in that region. If we include some of the small islands. But that is a lot of nations, isn't it? You see? Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be dealing with a lot of that. So part of last week was, I know some of you guys weren't here last week, so a quick recap. We were looking at overcoming faith or being overcomers. Excuse me. And last week we looked at what is an overcomer. And we also looked at why we should even be bothered with overcoming. Why? And we didn't get a chance to look at the motivations or the rewards, which is the amazingly fun and exciting part. So we're going to look at the motivations tonight and then also practicals of how do we overcome. So the amazing thing with motivation is the rewards that we store up for ourselves. And in line with just being an overcomer for our own faith journey with Jesus, but also overcoming because part of our rewards can be the many that we witness to and reach and love and draw into the kingdom. Part of our inheritance can be the many around us in our neighborhood. So a short recap of last week. Mark had to go home. Shame, his little girl is getting really sick. Elizabeth is not well. So he shot home, but I know he was really excited. He had some good feedback for me last week, and we touched on the world systems and overcoming the systems of the world or the ways of the world. And it just felt like a little recap on that would be helpful, especially for some that weren't here. But we touched on ways of the world that get in the way and that actually stop us from overcoming. And I'll run through just four of the key ones from last week, just as a reminder. The first would be that it's a really selfish, self-first world that we live in, right? So Philippians 2, 3, and 4, I don't have it on the board, but just to... You can follow with me, Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Paul writes, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." And so we live in a world that really is all about me and self. And we fight it as part of our overcoming journey that we would gain victory over this, that we would look different. Because God's kingdom is very much on the opposite spectrum. It's all about others. And so it's interesting that that word conceit or vain conceit or empty conceit actually means arrogance and just opinionated people. And I'm sure you'll agree that we come up against that a lot. The systems of the world is actually, Neil, you can have an opinion and your opinion matters. And don't let anyone tell you different. It's okay, Neil, to have an opinion. And to think quite highly of yourself, because this world celebrates that. I've got to come against that. You have to come against that as we grow and become more like Christ. That's the first one. The second one is just our purity and the purity of our heart. I touched on it a little bit last week. But the purity of our heart is such a key one because the whole world has a very distorted view on purity. And if we just think of our physical purity as a first point of notice, everything is distorted right now when we look at purity in the world. Everyone's got an opinion on it. Every radio station, everything you read, every person, no matter how young they are, how experienced they have an opinion. And most of the world system is that their opinion on purity is very different to God's opinion and what we live for. So this is a big one that we're going to keep having to face. Our hearts can be corrupted so easily because everywhere we look, someone has a different opinion on this topic of purity. So how do we keep our hearts from being corrupted? We're going to look at that a little bit tonight as well. And then just our scriptures, the holy scriptures that we've been given to build a foundation for our life, constantly under attack. And there's so much doubt around what we should believe, what we can believe, what's true, what's biblical. There's a constant attack on the holy scriptures. And if we don't know that we can trust God's word fully and stand on everything it says, then we're not going to be able to overcome. Colossians 2:8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." So again, the world system is so different. We're going to come up against it. Paul's writing to the church and giving them a warning about hollow and deceptive philosophies. We have many of those floating around, just like in those days. There were plenty floating around. And so we need to be motivated to overcome, because we seriously are up against a lot when we look at the world systems right now and what we're facing. So a couple of quotes, I can actually get Dale can throw them up, just to encourage you, from some people who've lived before us. John Bunyan, great author, you'll know his work, some of you, but whatever good thing you do for him, for God, for Jesus, if done according to the word, is laid up for you as treasured in chests and coffers, to be brought out, to be rewarded before both men and angels, to your eternal comfort. You see, the men of the past and days before us, there was a lot of talk about rewards and laying up treasures, because people really went through stuff. You know, there were some difficult times, and many of us haven't faced as difficult times as many in historical days. And you'll see some of the language of the next one as well. John Calvin wrote, "It is my happiness that I have served him who never fails to reward his servants to the full extent of his promise." You know, we can remind God of his promises. Sometimes we feel like we shouldn't or we can't, and like he's God and we are people, and who are we to remind him? But we can. We can remind him of his promises, and we can pray into that. And then the last one is from Martin Luther, says, "Two days on my calendar, today and that day." So deal with today. I love that, because today has enough worries of itself. And then think about that day when I meet my King again, and what it's going to be like when he shows us our life story. What are we going to have for eternity to look forward to? So let's look at our motivations, because this is fun, eh? Jesus said, holding fast to him is going to be worth it. Not always easy, but worth it. And when something's worth it or valuable, I mean, it's an adventure. It's worth giving yourself to and holding on to, because we're going to have an amazing adventure and an amazing ride. Jesus said it wouldn't always be easy, but it would be so worth it. And so let's have a look at what some of the promises are. So I said to you last week, we're going to look at Revelations chapter 2 and 3. They're quite long. We won't get a chance to read through all of them tonight, but I'll give you some of the highlights. Overcomers, there were seven letters written to seven churches. John wrote that book. It was Jesus who spoke to John directly and said, "Write down every word I tell you." That's how the book of Revelation was written. So some people really struggle with this book, and some people really love it. And you kind of have two extremes. If you've probably experienced, you'll find that either some people are really wary of it and don't want to go there because of the way it's written, some of the language and what's in it. There's a lot of mystery and there's all sorts of interesting content. But some people also own it so much that it can almost become a little bit weird in the sense of how they interpret it and how they talk about Revelation all the time. And they don't really have a great balance of all scripture, 66 books. But there's got to be a middle ground. It's God's word, and it's his promise. And Jesus spoke these words directly to John, said, "Write it down." So we've got a lot of truth in this book that we need to dig into. And here are some of the promises that we were given. We would eat from the tree of life in paradise if we overcome. And so each of these letters, there was a single common denominator. To the overcomer, you will be rewarded. And there's a promise to each one. So the overcomer is what he's looking for in his church, because this was written to the church, not to unbelievers. So there were some strong challenges and some strong warnings to us, the people of God. And there was a very common challenge of, I want you to overcome. I want you guys to overcome. So the first one is you would eat from the tree of life in paradise, Revelation 2, 7. Then you would be unharmed by the second death, Revelation 2, 11. In the third letter, you'd be given a new name. You and I would be given a new name. We would have authority over the nations. Chapter 2, verse 26. Then chapter 3, 5, we'd be clothed in white garments. 3:12, we've been made a permanent pillar in the house of God. And 3:21, we'd sit with Jesus on his throne. There are a few others in there, but these stand out as some of the key ones. You probably have heard many of these. We will look at them a little bit more. But here is the first one in Revelation 2:7. To eat from the tree of life and live in paradise. So I don't know about you, but paradise, even though I'm not a surfer, paradise always looks like an island with great waves, coconuts falling off the trees. It's just that picture you're given, and I know some surfers would regard that as their paradise and what they'd probably want to do for eternity. But paradise is a great piece written by Luke Hulley, who was in Ivory Coast with Ross. And he spoke about the word garden coming through quite a lot when you look at that word paradise. And you remember it was the garden where we first walked as humankind with God. And we're again coming to that place in eternity where we'll be in paradise in the garden. We'll be intimate with our Lord in this garden. So therefore, a tree of life, eating from the tree, is not far off what he had planned for us right in the beginning. So when we resist temptation and actually start to overcome our sin, we can actually look forward to eating from the tree of life and eating this fruit. So in other words, he's got this for us and he's calling us again into this paradise and into this place to be able to eat from the tree of life and to store up this eternal life on the new earth that he's going to create one day. So he wants us to store up eternal life. Yes, you're going to ask, but Neil, aren't I secure? Aren't we secure in his salvation and his strength? Yes, we are. But to the seven churches, when you look at the letters in Revelation 2 and 3, you'll see how the Lord encourages the churches, as he would encourage Greenpoint and Josh Chen and all of our partnering churches. But being the Lord who's perfect and holy and as a dad who only wants the best for us, he's also going to be very alert to say to us, but this thing, I need to encourage you in this, or you need to change in this and adjust. And if you don't, is what he says to each of those churches, I'm still the same God throughout history. And he's a pure and holy God who wants us to be just like him. So he calls us to overcome. He gives us these great rewards. And then he gives us the practicals a little bit later of how we can do that in his strength. And he actually equips us to be overcomers. So what about being unharmed by the second death? Revelation 21:8 speaks of a second death being the lake of fire. So the second death, first death, obviously the second death being what we, when we're judged for our works as believers, when we're judged for our works and our life on earth living in him, there's going to be this judgment. And anything that we've did outside of his strength is going to burn up, scripture says. But everything done in him and in his strength, he's going to honor that. And he wants us to be unharmed by this judgment and this process. And he gives us one opportunity in this life to overcome and to resist the temptation and the systems of the world. And his promise is that if we do, we'll be unharmed at this time. And it's a very interesting topic to look at. It's a heavy and weighty topic, of course. But when we die, we have Jesus, our victor, standing, wanting us to overcome, giving us the strength to overcome. See, when we under pressure in this world, we know that there's a lot of language in the New Testament about us enduring, an enduring faith, going through trials, going through difficulties. And we can endure for a while in God's strength, but he actually wants us to go beyond and begin to overcome. Because endurance is us holding under the pressure. and enduring. But overcoming is actually coming above the pressure that we're facing and actually getting victory over it. We endure for a while, and we will all endure for a while. This year, Taryn and I have endured much, but we've also overcome much. And it feels great to endure and then overcome. It doesn't feel so great to just continue enduring, because you kind of wonder, when is the victory coming? And we are called to have victory. In everything, it is a test. As Will Maria, if you follow him on Facebook, every week you'll be hearing, everything is a test. Even this week, there was a list of tests. And Will's seen a lot of life, a lot more than most of us. And everything is going to test us. How do we endure through it? But at what point are we overcoming the test? At what point are we coming up on top of it? Which is what Jesus promised all of us. And what he was imploring the churches in these seven letters to overcome and come through. And this is what I have for you at the end. He also said, you were given a new name in Revelation 2:17. I've always thought about this new name, because my parents gave me a name. Your parents gave you a name. Sometimes it had a meaning. Sometimes it didn't really have a meaning. It was just a name. But a name does mean something. And then you get called names at school, right? Sometimes even outside of school, you get called names. And there's power in those things. I mean, some names you don't want to remember. You know, some built you up, but they actually didn't do that much for you, you know? If you were built up by certain names and what people called you. But Jesus is going to stop the name of Neil or Morris or Jackie. And at that point when we're with him, he's going to give us a new name. And I love to dream about that concept, because he's going to look at your life, this short life on earth, and he's going to say, Jackie, this is your new name, my daughter. I've seen your heart. I've seen your life before me. I saw everything that you overcame. And this is what I call you now. That's going to be your name for eternity. And it's going to be honoring and beautiful and personal. And I love that he's going to take the time for every single one of us. Give us a new name. First Corinthians 6:9-11. I don't know if we have that, Dale, but I'll just read through it from my notes, if not. There we do. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. We were all there once before we knew Jesus. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is power. And yes, he's going to give us a new name. But there's something of us knowing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is where our victory is, where our overcoming faith is. His name is the only name that counts now on this side of eternity. It's going to get us through. It's going to see us overcome. And then one day, he is going to give us a new name. So now what about us that struggle with some of these warnings through this life? And we are going to face temptation. We are going to struggle. But when it becomes our lifestyle or our habit or our full identity, we're going to have trouble, because we're not going to be in the overcoming camp. He's called us to overcome, not be perfect on this journey, but growing in our perfection and overcoming in his strength, right? So he calls us a saint. The Father looks at us. He sees the blood of Jesus and he sees us as a saint. That's our name right now. He sees us through Jesus' blood, calls us a saint. And he sanctifies us and he washes us. So we've got this great power, the name of Jesus, to keep overcoming and to keep growing. He also says about that white stone with the name written in it, or the name will be engraved and carved into a white stone, that the only one will know that name will be Ross and Jesus, Annie and Jesus. It's going to be a personal time of reflection. So, you know, we often hear people say, do everything for the audience of one. Everything we do, it's just between you and Jesus, you know? And we so easily fall into that trap of just, we're wanting people to see or recognize. And I think sometimes we can't overcome because we're actually trapped by what we believe others think. And we get so stuck there. And actually, when we get a new name one day in eternity, Jesus is going to call us, give us a new name. And it's actually not going to be between anyone else, but you and him. I'm not going to be there. Your best friends are not going to be there. Your family are not going to be there. It's between you and him. And so, again, like, it just gives me an amazing picture of how he wants us to resist the systems of the world and resist the pressure that we're in now. It's to just find him and find strength in Jesus. It's all that matters. Are you guys still with me? So I'm on 217, the new name, and then 226, we'll have authority over the nations. So for the true believers, we will have a ruling authority over the nations. That's quite amazing, because there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven, and there will be nations. So here's the thing. Not many of us are in government positions right now, are we? Is there anyone here who governs or is in government? No. Judging in the courts, we've got a few amongst us. But in the next life, we will judge the world. Here's one. One of my first experiences as a new elder was sitting with two people, one of which I know in the church, and someone else, having a dispute over business. It was very interesting. I went along with Russell Fraser, who was judging the matter, and we sat in there and we did the work of what a normal judge or someone in the courts would do to sort out a business dispute between two believers. And it was a very interesting situation, because in 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3, Paul writes, it's a famous story about the saints having a dispute. And he says, Paul said to the church that we need to deal with these matters amongst ourselves. And he even says even the least of the saints, the newest of the saints, should be able to deal with the matter of business or breakdown of relationship between us. And why was he saying that? Why did he have so much hope in just us as the church being able to deal with these matters that are normally dealt with in court? Because he was pointing to eternity one day and saying that we will judge the nations. We will judge the angels, the scripture says. So we're going to be giving this positions of authority, but only to those who overcome, so that we may have this authority given to us. We're going to be in positions of such authority over the nations one day. It's crazy to think. But if we look at ourselves, we think about how can I actually do that? But again, in his strength, it's his promise, and it's his overcoming power. And one day we'll see if we keep on resisting and keep on overcoming. What about 3:5? We'll be clothed in white garments. So white is the promise of the holiness, blameless and perfect. It's the color that we know is just a beautiful color. And he promises that color of white and the white garments in Revelation 3:5. Colossians 3:3 and 4. This is the perfection and purity of all whose life is by faith hidden in Christ. So here again we see Paul writing in Colossians that if our life is hidden in Christ, by faith, we'll be protected. We'll be a picture of purity and perfection. And one day we can enjoy that same beautiful promise when we come into the arms of Jesus, eh? What about the permanent pillar in the house of God? Revelation 3:12. So a pillar is obviously something very stable and prominent and safe and strong. But it's a symbol of something in the house of God, right? Church, and in the house of God in eternity one day. We'll be made like pillars. We'll be made to be people who enjoy the presence of God. Because there won't be a temple in the new heaven, new earth, but we'll be with God. We'll be his. In the worship place, we'll be with him. There'll be no unbelievers, just be people who know him. And so we will be there, and we will be in the presence of God fully. But he'll make us pillars. He'll make us strong in his house. It's going to be beautiful, eh? But what about security? I mean, I've said a lot about those who overcome. And it's, I mean, even as I was reading through these scriptures, you can quite quickly become insecure at times. I think, but what about what I still have to face in this life? But just as a reminder, John 10, 28, 29 writes about our security, saying that no one can snatch the people of God out of his hands. So there is this truth that we must remember, that nobody can snatch us out of the hands of God. We are protected and we are safe as long as we keep ourselves in him. And his promise is that he will keep us. But he sees so much more for us in overcoming faith. Remember, if we're marked as his, nobody can touch us. That's another promise in Scripture. And how do we know if we're marked by him? Well, we have the Holy Spirit as our deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. So we have the Holy Spirit. We have this mark in us. And nobody can snatch us out of his hands. We are safe and secure. I do want to just remind us of that, because I have been looking at the overcoming part. But I hope you realize that in his strength, there's so much to be excited about and look towards, because there really is an amazing one that's coming next. But to sit on his throne, sit with Jesus on his throne. Not going to be our throne, but we will sit with him as he rules and reigns. So we're invited into the king's presence. And I think if you've got a little bit of history, but monarchy and kingship, the king's throne is his throne. Even the queen is, it's his throne, not the queen's throne. She supports him. But what about the subjects of the king? They don't get any throne time, do they? You don't get that kind of access. But Jesus, being the beautiful friend and savior, he is a king. But he also says he will invite us to sit with him on his throne. It's an amazing picture if you think about it. The intimacy that we'll have of this ruling king and ruling God. But we'll be with him. And he'll share his kingdom with us, because that's the same thing that it means. As we sit with him, as he rules on his throne, he's going to share this kingdom with us. And in this life, we get a taste of it, but in eternity, for us who overcome, it's going to be us ruling with a king. If we get that picture of what that's going to be like, what is it going to be like for you and I in that place? It's going to be way different to what we've experienced in these years in this life. Jesus promised the conquerors or the overcomers that he will give us the right to sit with him on his throne. Just as he conquered and sat down with the Father, as he overcame his tests and his trials. See, remember, Jesus overcame and showed us the way and went to sit with the Father and to rule and to reign. So how do we do all this? These great rewards, and there are a few more sprinkled in Revelation 2 and 3, and it would be great if you spend some time just reading through those in the next few days, and just as we reflect on the motivations of overcoming, even some of the notes from last week. But then you go, but how do we, and I thought just to give a couple of practicals, 6 points of ways that we can live in overcoming faith, things that we can apply to ourselves. The power of the Holy Spirit being number one, our deposit that guarantees that we are belonging to God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and therefore we can overcome. Point number one. 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God, little children. We are from God. And we have overcome them because greater is he than who is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. So we talk about these world systems being difficult and this world that God's enemy uses to test us and to put us under pressure. But God overcame that. He's already had victory. And he lives in us. So the first thing is we need the Holy Spirit and his power as a witness to being an overcomer. So without the Holy Spirit, we are really going to struggle to overcome. It's just going to be very overwhelming, and we'll probably always be enduring and feeling under the pressure of the world systems. But to actually come above it and overcome and come above the pressures of the world, we're going to need to walk with and know the Holy Spirit and continually be filled by the Holy Spirit, because it's also not a once-off, I was filled with the Holy Spirit once and now I'm okay. Yes, you're okay in that you're secure, but there's an ongoing filling that the Bible talks about, and that's to equip us to continue living in victory, continual filling of the Holy Spirit and walking closely with Him. So that's number one. And of course, the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God as our foundation. Number two. So Holy Spirit, one, the Word of God, two, and by faith, which comes from God. So it's by faith, we heard in Colossians, that we actually can have our life hidden in Christ, firstly. But it's by faith. Faith is the substance that we need, and it's given by God. So we need to continually grow in our faith with the Word as our foundation, with the Holy Spirit as our encourager and the one drawing us along on this journey. But what about our testimony? What about the power of our testimony and our Word going out? Andrea's going to share next Sunday here, and probably one other. Some of us might share in this week because we're stepping out a little bit. But what about living daily with knowing that our testimony is a practical way to overcome? Because part of our testimony is not just standing in a stadium full of unbelievers sharing our testimony, but even reminding the enemy, when he comes at us, of what God has done in my life. No. Stop lying to me. Don't pressurize me. This is my story. This is what Jesus did. He saved me. And this is what He brought me out of. And now you back off and you shut up, because I have the Holy Spirit. And this is my life story. And that is a weapon in your hand. Our testimony. Our testimony. Because He will lie at you, you know. You know, when you have a voice that keeps coming at you, that's constant lies. That's how the enemy comes at you. He's not very creative. Remember, he was created by the Creator. So he's not creative at all. I haven't found him creative in my life's battles. I've found him agonizingly, irritatingly, consistently pathetic. It's true, because he comes the same way, doesn't he? But we do fall for the same way. That, you know, we need to overcome that. Realize he comes at us with the same tactics, really. He's going to create new tactics. Tactics are the same. It's to come and lie to us. So our testimony is a powerful tool in our hand. And just having an eternal mindset is another one. Point five, having an eternal mindset. And last one is God's strength and not ours. We touched on that a few times in the last 2 weeks. But God's strength over ours needs to be at the forefront of everything. So if we promise to be more than conquerors in Scripture, and if we're called to be overcomers and equipped in many of these ways, actually, to live a life of overcoming, what does stop us? If all the tools are there and we've been given a great encourager, the Holy Spirit, a great example of an overcomer in Jesus Christ, and we have all these tools, and we have these amazing big brothers and this Lord over our life, the encourager, the Holy Spirit, big brother Jesus, Lord over our life, and God the Father, how do we struggle? How do we find ourselves struggling so often? It's probably because of our hearts and the state of our hearts. If we don't keep coming back and checking our hearts, we're going to find that we easily slip back into old ways and old habits. And some of those are just not believing what tools we've been given, not believing what God has already achieved through Jesus. So despite our hearts, and despite often our wrong choices, we're always given a way out. We're always given hope. We're always given a next morning to change and to adjust and to repent and to find victory. So there's always opportunity. He gave the churches in Revelation, in those letters, another opportunity. Spoke to them quite clearly. And again, tonight he just gives us an opportunity to do the very same thing. To recognize where we might have slipped or where we might be struggling. And he says, come on, church. Come on, guys. Realize who I am and realize what I've given you. And you too can tomorrow begin to overcome more and more. So why don't we stand together and just, you know, let's just reflect for a few minutes on some of those practicals and some of those words. Just hear what the Lord is saying to each of us tonight. You guys still with me? Come, let's just close our eyes for a moment. stay focused on what he's been saying. Yeah, let's just close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, tonight I realize this, your church here in your church in Greenpoint, your growing church, Lord, we've been given so much. We've challenged to be great overcomers in the faith. And you've given us so many promises. You've given us so many handles on how to grow in our overcoming faith. So let me speak to us a little bit about, it's felt like there's an opportunity. I mean, there's lots of things we could look at. The Word of God, our testimony, the Holy Spirit. It really felt for me, just the Lord touch on the constant infilling of the Holy Spirit. And almost if we don't go through the days of this life, the world systems coming at us the way they are, if we're not constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking with the Holy Spirit, then we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle without the Word of God. We're going to struggle without faith. But it really feels like there's an opportunity as we gather together to mutually encourage one another and to pray for one another and to trust that the Holy Spirit will come and refill some of us, stir up some of us, and strengthen and encourage us where we need to be strengthened and encouraged. So I wanted to invite, firstly, for the church and those of us that know the Lord tonight, just to contemplate and just to quieten your hearts, just to ask the Lord, if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe for the first time, or maybe as a refreshing, because you're new to this faith and you're new to walking with him. And even some of us that have been around a bit longer, perhaps tonight is an opportunity for us to get around you and to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you up again and secure you as the deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. So securing of him tonight, securing your heart. So I want to ask that it's you guys, that you'd come forward. And some of us want to pray with you. We stand together and trust the Holy Spirit would encourage and fill and refill and stir up and send you forward to grow in your overcoming faith. I'm going to call that group of you guys out. We're going to worship a bit, and it would be amazing to pray with you in a few minutes. But I also do want to speak to anybody who tonight isn't hearing the message as a believer or isn't hearing the scriptures as someone who is already part of God's church, called out people, his family. But tonight you're just looking in, a visitor, a friend has brought you along, and you haven't yet asked Jesus to be Lord of your life and surrendered your heart and asked him to come and forgive you of your sins and your heart that has been away from God, your Creator. Now I want to ask you, if that's you, that you would show me your hand so I can pray, one of us can pray with you and actually just invite you into his family as a first invitation. So let me see if there is anyone other than his church gathered here tonight, other than the family of God. So maybe for the rest of us, for the group I spoke to just before, why don't you come forward if you want a touch of the Holy Spirit. Come and join us in the front. We're going to worship a little bit, end with a song. But if you come stand right in the front where I am, some of us will gather around you and we'll trust God for a Holy Spirit infilling moment to re-encourage, to stir up faith, to re-empower you and to just allow you to walk in overcoming faith. Not just as a sign of weakness, but actually it is. Because to trust in God's strength is one of our practical ways of walking in overcoming faith. So if you are feeling weak, come forward and allow him to touch you tonight. And for the rest of you, we're going to worship together. So don't go, join us and stir up faith wherever you are. Eh? Amen.